Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here on this special Scout Sunday, and thank you and welcome to all the scouts that we're going to see over the next hour helping with our service. So please pay attention to your bulletin because there are some changes to what we would normally do because we have all these wonderful special participants. So again, we welcome you. Also want to stress that it is Scout Sunday, and even though the Boy Scouts have now decided to accept girls, which is a tremendous step forward, it really is still Scout Sunday. So welcome everyone. A few other announcements that are not in your bulletin. We do have Cookie Fellowship next Sunday prior to our service at 9:45, so please come take advantage of some coffee and cookies and some time to fellowship with your fellow members. Also, the Women's Association met this morning before church, and thanks to all who showed up. And please mark your calendars. The Spring Craft Show will be Saturday, March 30th. It will be crafts and bake sale as we've done in the past. So if you'd like to participate, if you'd like to come and spend your money, we'll be glad to take it. And if you'd like to come and help out with anything of the projects that are required to make the event a success, please check with anybody on the committee and we will be happy to put you to work. And I think that's pretty much all I have. Thank you.
One additional announcement. Sorry, I forgot to tell you this. So I am going to be on vacation starting Saturday through next week. So if you have some kind of pastoral emergency in the next week, I'm going to be in Florida. So you can contact the office, and I will leave instructions with Lynn for how to get a hold of the minister who's going to be covering for me that week. Just wanted to let you know. Yes. Or they could contact Arlie. Thank you. Yes. Actually, it's probably better if you contact Arlie first in the office second, just because she's very responsive to emails and text messages. All right. In that vein, let us begin our worship service with our call to worship. We gather to give thanks to you, O Lord, with all our hearts. We will sing your praises before all creation and rejoice in your steadfast love. You have created us, O Lord, and made us for yourself. In you we become everything you have made us to be. Let us rise and join together in our opening hymn. The words will be on the screen. Please be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite our scouts to come forward.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
Scout is
trustworthy.
join with me for our prayer of confession. Eternal God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and apart from you. We have turned from our neighbors and refused to bear the burdens of others. We have ignored the pain of the world and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commandments, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me now for our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. Join with me as we say together the words of the Apostles' Creed, which will be on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we're going to take a moment to greet one another. It is appropriate. Shake hands, hug, you can move a bit, and then we'll gather back together. This time, we are going to listen to our choir's anthem. We don't have any written prayer or praise requests to share this morning, but I have a few that I wanted to share. Sandy's son, George, was hospitalized this week on Friday, I believe. He's home now. He's doing better, but he still has to get some more tests in the coming week, so please keep George in your prayers. As far as a praise report goes, I am so delighted that the Scouts are here with us this morning. This is one of my favorite services that we do all year. So thank you all for coming, being part of our worship service, and also thank you for all that you do in our community. So thank you. All right, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our hymn of meditation, number 170, You Walk Along Our Shoreline. Be seated. At the end of my pastoral prayer, I will invite us to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And I know that we have people here from a bunch of different Christian traditions this morning. So when I lead us in the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to use debts and debtors. But if your tradition uses a different word, like sins or trespassers, feel free to say it. And we're going to have a moment of holy chaos in the middle of the prayer, and it will be beautiful. So I just want to encourage you to use whatever word during that part you feel most comfortable with. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, today we pray for George. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Brazil after a mining dam collapsed, burying about 150 people in its wake. Lord, we pray that aid would come quickly. Lord, we also present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that on this ordinary Sunday in February, we are able to worship with our scouts. Lord, we thank them. We thank you for their service to our church and our community. We pray for their leaders. We pray that you would give them wisdom and courage and discernment to help shepherd and form our young people into adults. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue to worship God by presenting our offerings. Bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have one of our scouts do the scripture reading today.
Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did anyone watch the State of the Union address on Tuesday night? It's okay if you didn't. I caught the highlights of it on Wednesday morning. And my big takeaway from this address is that 2019 has been a rough year to be a human. Between things like global warming, the longest government shutdown in history, an opioid epidemic that is growing exponentially every year. On top of all of that, a congressional investigation into presidential misconduct. There hasn't been a lot of good news lately. But on top of this bad news, we live in a country that has polarized views on literally everything related to the public good. So here I'm thinking about things like, what do we do about immigration? When and how and if abortion, is it ever okay? Should we have universal health care? Who's going to pay for it? Will there be Social Security when I retire 37 and a half years from now? What standards do we want to set for public education? What skills do our children need before they enter the workforce? And these are just the things that I could think of off the top of my head. The problem with these polarized views is it makes it almost impossible to pass legislation that is going to absolve or, at the very least, eliminate human suffering. Let alone have a civil conversation with friends or family members who hold views that are different from our own. Yet, while all of this is happening in our nation, we as a church gather on this ordinary Sunday in February to listen to this timeless story of Jesus calling his first disciple, Simon. In the midst of his everyday, ordinary life as a fisherman, Jesus invites Simon into a life that is going to be both risky and also rewarding. Ever since Jesus called his first disciple, generation after generation of women and men have responded to this same call, because they too have encountered the living God. And once they encountered God, they can do nothing else but follow him. I want to tell you a little bit about Simon. So as we hear in our scripture reading, Simon was a fisherman. And after a night of fruitless fishing where he didn't catch a single fish on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets him. When Jesus encounters Simon, Simon has just docked his boat, and he's ready to call it a day. I imagine that Simon is probably pretty tired, a little bit hungry, and probably in need of a good shower when Jesus encounters him. Jesus tells him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon, despite his tiredness and his frustration, obeys Jesus. "Master," Simon says, "we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Because he obeys Jesus, Simon catches so many fish that his nets start to break. Simon now has a little bit of a problem. He realizes that he has encountered the living God, and he's scared. He tells Jesus, "Please go away from me, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, I will make you a fisher of men." "Come and follow me," Jesus says. "I will teach you how to share this good news with others. For you were once a fisherman, but I am going to make you a fisher of men." This is the call of discipleship. Once we encounter the grace of God, we can do nothing else but drop everything and follow God into the unknown. Sure, we every day try to respond to this call by following God's commands, but we also are called to love the people that God loves, particularly the ones that we encounter in our daily lives. When Jesus tells Simon that he is called to fish for people, he means that Simon is called to accept that God is not always going to be found in the people and places that are most familiar to him. There's no denying that our God is a God of adventure, intrigue, and even a little bit of mystery. God cannot be contained by our attempts to understand God, and that usually means that we're going to be following him into some unexpected and perhaps confusing places. Also, this call of discipleship is going to expect some pretty big things of us. So often we will feel this call of discipleship when, like Simon, we have already given everything we have to give, and God asks us to give a little bit more. For example, Jesus finds Simon at the end of a long day of back-breaking labor, and he tells him to keep working. I don't know if you have heard the expression, "God doesn't give us more than we can handle," but I don't think that's true. I think God frequently gives us more than we can handle to teach us that we, in fact, can handle more than we think we can. Like Simon, I believe that all disciples of Jesus are called to fish for people. One area where we might, as contemporary Christians, think about doing some fishing is in how we respond to this bad news that is happening all around us. 2019 has been a rough few weeks. Yes, it has only been 6 weeks in 2019. But I don't think the rest of this year has to be as unbearable as the first couple weeks. See, it is one of the reasons that these weeks have been rough is because a lot of things have happened that we have no control over. We can't control the weather. We can't really control the length of government shutdowns. And we can do some things to alleviate global warming, but in a lot of ways, we're part of a system that is bigger than us. And where Jesus kind of steps in is he says, yes, all of these things are happening, but I'm not asking you to fix all of these things. I am asking you to care for the people and places in your life and make them a little bit better by loving them. What Jesus is saying here is that if our discipleship never leaves the walls of this church, if it never challenges the powers that be, if it never works to alleviate human suffering, then really, what is the point? Simon Peter's call story challenges us to keep pushing, to keep following Jesus even when we're feeling tired or poor or sick. To offer all that we are and all that we will be to the one who did the same for us. We keep pushing in response to a God who never stops pushing for us. I truly believe that the rest of this year doesn't necessarily have to be as unbearable as the first few weeks have been. But I think that that is only true if we start taking a little bit more responsibility for one another. If all of us pick one aspect of our life together that we have both the energy and the skills to work on. Now, in case you were wondering, gee, what could that look like for me in my life? I have a couple examples to share with you. So if you are someone who likes to cook, I encourage you to find a family that has been negatively impacted by the government shutdown and see if maybe you can make them or send them a meal. If you're like me and you like to write, we have a holiday coming up this week that can be really challenging if you are single, divorced, separated, or widowed. I encourage you, go to the dollar store, find an appropriate Valentine's Day card, and send it to somebody who is going through a rough time this Valentine's Day. If you are someone who likes to build things, I encourage you to go to your favorite nonprofit in your community, whether that's a church, a school, a library, and see what they have on their wish list of things that they would love to do but have neither the skills or the money to complete. This doesn't have to be something elaborate. I know some churches that are waiting for someone to help them hang a poster board. I'm not saying you have to like build a handicap ramp here, but just asking and saying, you are important and I want to support you and how can I help is wonderful. Maybe you're retired and you find yourself with all this time on your hands. But I bet that there is one thing that you know so well, you can teach it to someone else. I encourage you to think, what is that one thing? And I challenge you to find someone who is under 30 and teach them that skill. Chances are they don't know how to do it, and they'll be really grateful that you spent some time with them. Finally, if you are someone who is passionate about social justice, but who maybe has trouble watching State of the Union addresses, I encourage you to maybe consider learning who your elected officials are, what causes they are fighting for, and maybe see if either you can work with them, or if they're doing something you disagree with, find a way, either write them a letter, call them. I know, calling people on the phone is scary, but sometimes you have to do it. And see if there is a way that you can connect with the causes they're passionate about. All right, the reason that I shared these examples is because the point of this story we shared today is that once we become disciples of Jesus, our lives are no longer primarily our own. Our stories are now tied up in this bigger story of salvation history with Jesus at the center. And following Jesus means giving ourselves in service to something that is bigger than just ourselves or our family or our communities. Like it or not, when we have agreed to follow Jesus, we have promised to do what we can to alleviate human suffering in whatever particular form that takes in our context. I'm actually really excited to see what the rest of this year is going to bring, because I do think that we are capable of making our communities, our families, and even our lives more bearable. And we do this in response to the grace of God that makes our lives more bearable than we could ever imagine. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, "Thou Art Worthy." The lyrics will be on the screens. Let me say a word of blessing as we leave from this place. Remember that you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something that he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.